Well, it's time to explore the Psalms in this segment of Beacon of Truth that we call the Soulful Psalms. And it's its own podcast. That's right. You can go to EWTNPodcastCentral.com or on the EWTN app or one of your favorite podcast mediums, Spotify or SoundCloud or iTunes, whichever one you like, and listen to the Soulful Psalms. Now, today, we're picking this particular psalm because of our theme today, talking about angels. Now, we looked at the first part of this psalm already, and now we're going to take a look at the second part of this psalm. This is Psalm 91, right? Psalm 91. So this is in book four, Psalms 90 to 106 are in book four. And like most of these book four psalms, most of these psalms have no prescript. So we don't know who wrote them, except for a couple of them. Of course, we know David wrote Psalms 101 and 103 in this very short book of the Psalms. So we looked at the first nine verses the last time, and now we're going to start with verse 10. Now, in the first part of this psalm that we looked at already, what we emphasized there was when Jesus was in the desert being tempted by Satan, Satan actually quoted part of this psalm to Jesus. He quotes that, the arrogance of Satan, quoting the word of God to the word of God, the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we want to continue with this psalm. So starting at verse 10, upon you no evil shall, because you have confidence in the Lord, right? That's kind of leading up to this part of the psalm, having complete confidence and trust in the Lord, right? Looking to him for strength, looking to him for refuge, looking for him to right the wrongs that have been done to us, okay? So starting at verse 10, upon you no evil shall fall, no plague approach your tent. Right. So again, because of the confidence that we have in the Lord, no evil upon you, no evil shall fall. Now, there are things that happen to us that are not good. Right. We have people that that take advantage of us. We have people that hurt us. We have people that abuse us. We have people that only want to befriend us or only talk to us when they want something from us. Right, we've all experienced that. So yes, there are evil things that happen to us, but they're saying that that's not going to be sustained if we trust in the Lord, because bad things happen to good people. Look at Job, right? The readings at Mass for this week have been from Job, and we hear and see the sufferings of Job, right? And no plague approach where you dwell. Right. So, of course, a plague is something that leaves you weak and vulnerable and could even kill you. Right. So he talks about, you know, with trusting in God, we don't have to worry about the power of evil. Even when evil things happen to us, we don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to worry about the power of evil overcoming us. We don't have to worry about a plague that may hurt us or even take our life. For you has he commanded his angels to keep you in all your ways, right? So the Lord has commanded his angels to, and this is one of the verses, right, in the scripture, we talk about the guardian angels, right? So to protect us from the evils, to protect us from the plagues that approach us in our lives, God has commanded his angels to keep us in all our ways, right? And so we're going to talk about the different levels of angels. You know, not all angels are guardian angels. I'm sure that one of the reasons why Satan said non serviam, I will not serve, is because God was using angels to assist mankind, right? To assist humanity, which is didn't make sense to Satan. Well, we're higher than them. Why are you using us as messengers to them? Why are you using us as guardians for them? You know, why are you wasting our time with that, Lord? You know, and he says, I'm not going to serve. And then now we come to verse 12, which is the verse that Satan quotes to Jesus in the desert. Remember, so the second temptation of the desert, because the first temptation is, you know, turn these rocks into stones, right? Turn these stones into bread. And so the second one is he takes him to the parapet of the temple, tells him, throws himself off from the temple. And why, if he's the son of God? Because what Satan's trying to see is this the son of God? Right, because Satan doesn't know everything. Right, he doesn't know fully what God's plan. So he's trying to see: is this the one? Is this that Messiah that everyone's talking about? And so he says, "They shall bear you upon their hands." It's the guardian angels now. They shall bear you upon their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Right. So I love that, the way the guardian angels take care of us. And Satan used this line against Jesus. If you are the son of God, throw yourself off, because the angels will protect you. And basically what he's saying, that way I will know that you are truly the son of God. Then I will know who you are. Right. And of course the Lord just brushes him off. So again, we have nothing to fear when it comes to Satan. Because we know if we stay close to the Lord, stay close to the Eucharist, stay close to the sacraments, pray more deeply in our prayer lives, right? Then the Lord will, with the assistance of his angels, guard us and protect us. In fact, it goes on to say in verse 13, on the lion and the viper you will tread, and trample the young lion and the serpent, right? So we will have power. Over evil with the assistance of the guardian angels and staying close to the Lord. Verse 14, since he clings to me in love, I will free him. Oh, I love that. Since he clings to me in love, I will free him. Now, I haven't looked it up in the Hebrew, but I'm wondering, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, it says that the man pursues his wife and cleaves to her. Now, the word there in Hebrew in Genesis 2 is dalbak. It doesn't mean to grab onto. It means to pursue as to overtake, right? To pursue as to overtake. I'm wondering what, I should have looked it up before, looked at what the Hebrew word is here for, since he clings to me in love. I'm wondering if it has that same sense of dalbak, that the Lord pursues us in love, and when we pursue him in return, then that's where our freedom comes from. Our freedom comes from uniting our heart with God's. What St. Therese of Lisieux says, right? When we follow God's will, then we're truly free to become the person who God created us to be. Freedom is not doing whatever we want. True freedom comes from doing what God wants.
Yeah. Well, and also as we look to listen for him, we have to also remember to stop talking. I know I'm guilty of, Lord, I need, and I don't give him room to talk, right? You have to back away and listen so that you can discern the difference between his voice and your own.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's key, because we want to make sure that when we're fulfilling God's will, that's not our will. But you have to make the distinction. But in order to do that, we have to be quiet. That's what St. Therese, in fact, she struggled with adoration. Her mind would wander and she would be thinking about different things. And it's one of those things, like in any relationship, the more you're in a relationship, the more comfortable you get.
Yeah.
The more comfortable you are with the person, the more you feel at home with the person and relaxed and connected. Yeah. The same thing with our Lord. That's what our prayer life is like. Sometimes it can be a little, distracting and agitating in the beginning. But the more comfortable we get with the Lord, the more we talk to the Lord, the more we feel our hearts connect with his heart, then I think that's going to help us listen to his voice more than our voice.
Well, and I think you've used this analogy before of the shadow, like when his shadow is watching over us, or the reflection of our shadow onto the things that are around us. Can you retell that abbreviated? I know that kind of ties into that, reflecting Christ.
Yeah, so image and likeness, in Genesis 1:27, it says we're made in the image and likeness of God. The word image is salem, a masculine noun, which means a shadow that's the outline or representation of the original. Right?
Yeah.
So if you're standing in your light, you're casting a shadow, but the shadow is not you, right? Mm-hmm. An image is an outline. It's a representation of you. So we're called to reflect God's life in our lives. We're not gods. We're not called to be God, of course. But we're called to reflect. Before the fall, the idea was we reflect God's life. When we think, we're thinking with the mind of God. When we love, we're loving with the heart of God, right? And when we do our God's will, we're in our lives, we're reflecting God's will in our lives as well. That's powerful.
Amen.
When he calls on me, I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. I will deliver him and give him glory. So the Lord is saying, here's what I will do for you if you just trust me, if you just love me, if you just turn your life over to me, if your will is connected with my will, right? I will rescue from distress. I will give you glory. With length of days, I will content him. I will show him my saving power. Right? And for us, that saving power comes in who? In and through Jesus Christ, the power of God and the glory of God. Amen.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.